Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. And I believe, if my count is right, this is the 14th lesson on the topic of faith. Can you believe we have spent 14 weeks on faith? It's just amazing. And tonight, I believe, again, this will be a truth that will help you just immensely. And once you get there, look at me. I'll know you got it when I can see your eyeballs. But this topic of faith that we'll study tonight has been one that has probably been one of the biggest encouragements to me. One of these things that I, through the years, have had to practice and had to learn. And it's not one that is going to be maybe as exciting on, wow, that was just one of those. But it will be, I promise you. When we get done with this, Luke 17, we're going to read the first 10 verses. I'm sorry, but I want you to see the whole situation here. You ready? I'm going to read out loud. You follow along. I'm going to read fairly quickly, and I still don't have my new glasses yet, so if I slaughter it, I'm not reading a different version, okay? Here we go. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than a man should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I want you to notice that statement. Increase our faith. The Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do. Now, look at me, if you will. Jesus is here with his disciples and begins to teach them. Now, let me once again say this in my shy, timid little way. These are the words of God. They're not man's words. I was looking for a church for someone today to go to, and I went to some websites, and the first thing I do is pop on their doctrine and find out what their stand on the King James Bible is. And it's amazing. I went to one and it said, well, the King James Version is the best translation, but it was written by men. Say, what did you do? Click and went to another one. I don't care what they said. I didn't need to know anything past that. I don't go, if they're right in that area, I'll start looking in some other areas. But if you're wrong on the Bible, you're wrong on everything. And these are God's words. Now, not only are these the words of God that he spoke before the foundation of the world, but in this passage, it's the conversation that Jesus himself is having with the disciples. Now, it's not that one part of the Bible is more important than the other, but these are the actual words. Now, I'm not one of these red letter edition people. You say, why? Well, those are the words that Jesus spoke. Jesus is the word of God. They're all the words he spoke. But if you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice this passage, most of it all will be in red letters. I'm colorblind, doesn't mean anything to me anyway. But he tells them something that I find very interesting. He says in verse 1 that it's impossible to live without somebody offending you. Notice it says, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. He said, listen, you will not make it out of life without being offended. It's going to come. Now, look at me, if you will. Jesus himself tells us this, and he said, it's impossible that you're going to to stop offenses from coming. It will be as much a part of life as breathing is a part of life. Now, Jesus then begins teaching his disciples by using an illustration. He said, if someone trespasses against you, he said, you should forgive them. He said, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Then he said, if they do it to you 7 times in one day, and each time you go through the process of saying, hey, look, you crossed a line, they say, oh, sorry, I won't do that again. He said, 7 times in a day, forgive them. Now, here's the thing. That term trespass means someone who has crossed a line or crossed a border. Do you ever drive down the road and see on the side of the road a yellow sign and it says, no trespassing? Say, what is that? You're not supposed to go over that property line. That's someone's private property that you're not to cross. So Jesus said here that if someone trespasses against you. Now I want you to notice in verse 1, he uses the word offenses. Then he says trespass. And there's a reason for that. Here we go. The word offense is not what you think it is. Let me who can I pick on? Let me pick on Brother Joe. I could say, Brother Joe, why are you wearing that sissy shirt? It's pink. No, it's not. It's dark pink. Now, you say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You might offend him. No. I could hurt his feelings, but that's not going to offend him. The word offend does not mean hurt feelings. The word offend does not mean somebody said something mean to you in the store, or they stuck their nose in the air and walked the other way. That's not the word offend. The word offend is a very strong term. The word offend literally means someone has tried to scandalize you. It is the Greek word for the word scandal starter. It literally means someone has joined into a pack of evil to destroy you and or your integrity. Now, offend would be me getting with Brother Barnes and Brother Barnes and saying, I don't like that Brother Joe Lopez. I want you guys to help me. We're going to spread a rumor. We're going to spread a rumor that Mrs. Lopez isn't here tonight because Brother Joe was beating her. Now, wait a minute. That is a scandal. It's not true. She's working. Just so you know. He beat her last night, not tonight. But he only does it when she really needs it. Now, listen to me. The word offend. At the moment I cross the line and start evil and start offending someone, Jesus said it's his responsibility to say, hey, Brother Bush, you offended me. You've started something that's not true. Now, retract that. And I would say, you know what, Brother Joe, you're right. I'm sorry. But the Bible says if I do that 7 times in one day, he's still supposed to forgive me. Wow. Imagine having your character assassinated 7 different times in one day by the same person. And God says you are to forgive them each and every time. Now, listen to me very carefully. Someone trying to destroy you. Jesus tells his disciples that if somebody does this, that we should forgive, but not just 1 time. 7 times. I want you to notice something. Now, with all of that in mind, let's go back and look at the Bible. Look at verse number 5. Well, let's back up to verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now watch this. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Notice the position of that statement. After Jesus came to them and said, look, offenses are going to come. And when they do, you're supposed to forgive the offender. Even if they try to destroy you 7 times in one day, you are to forgive them. And notice what the apostles say. Increase our faith. That is the statement. I call tonight's lesson, do you really want to increase your faith? Do you really want to increase your faith? I want you to notice something. It's after they find out they need to forgive the offender to the extent that Jesus asked them to, that they said, increase our faith. They didn't say, increase our belief. They did not say, increase our love. They did not say, increase our hope. They did not say, increase the faith. They did not say, take this scandal away. Prevent it from happening. They said, increase our faith. Now, let me remind you, Jesus told them he could not stop the scandals from coming. But they could live without bitterness and forgive the scandalizers. They could not stop the negative from coming their way. But there was a way to step up above the scandals, forgive the ones that are starting it, and live without bitterness in their lives. He told them this. By the way, the men knew their faith had to increase in order to be able to do what Jesus was asking. You do not do that in your flesh. You see, that faith is what's going to take you beyond bitterness. When someone looks at me and says, preacher, I'm bitter. I can't get over this. You need your faith increased. It is a matter of faith. It's not a matter of love. It is a matter of forgiveness and faith. Oops. Banged another microphone. Now, notice it was their faith that was not going to keep them from a scandal. Let me just plow through here. Their faith was going to allow them to continue without bitterness, to get through the scandal, to continue obeying God. Their faith was not going to prevent the scandal. Their faith was not going to stop the scandal. Their faith was not going to take the scandal away. Their faith was going to allow them to forgive the scandalizer so that they could continue to do what God commanded them to do. The purpose of the increase of faith was so they could continue the work of God no matter what came their way. You see, they were not asking to be kept from the attack. They were asking to be able to have their faith grow so that they would not be bitter and lose the work of God. Tonight, I want to show you how to increase your faith so that you never, ever have to be bitter with any human being the rest of your life. Can I tell you something? I'm not much. I know that. But I can put my head down every night and tell you there's not a human being on the face of this earth I am bitter with. Not one. I have been attacked, maligned, scandalized. I've had my name in papers in Chicago and Hammond and all over the Northwest Indiana area. I've been associated with things that I would not even begin to tell you. You say, why? Scandal. Scandal. I've had people falsely accuse me. I've had people try to destroy me. I've had people try to hurt my family, destroy my family. Guess what? I'm not mad at any of them. I forgave them a long time ago. Matter of fact, I have forgiven people that haven't even attacked me yet. Because I know more attacks coming. So guess what? I'm not offended when it comes. And I can put my head down every night. By the way, my bitterest enemy, not sure who it is, could walk through that door right there. I would reach my hand out, shake their hand, welcome them, have them sit down and sit through church. Would not bother me. I'd be very pleased. Say why? Because I forgave them a long time ago. Now, listen to me very carefully. Number one, the offenses and trespasses will come. It's not that they might, they will. If you are 30 years old or older, you've already faced this. Guarantee it. You have faced it already. You live a public life like my family has had to live. You face it a lot. Good night. Hello, Dow. I'm not sure what that was, but it wasn't inside this part of the building. Amen. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this. Trying to live like a martyr, saying, oh, poor me, oh, woe is me, I got a problem and somebody's attacked me, that's not increasing your faith. That's seeking pity. God says, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. Watch this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice one word in there. Trial. Anybody know what a trial is? Most people say, oh, that's a test. That's an opposition. No, it's not. That is a legal term. It means you're going to court over it and have to bring the evidence. Huh. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God said that the evidence of living by faith, watch this, when your faith goes to trial, will bring forth something more precious than gold. You need the trial of faith. By the way, the book of James says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let patience have her perfect work. So you need that opposition to your faith, and these offenses will come. Notice Jesus said, it's going to come. By the way, did you ever notice how many scandals Jesus was mentioned with in Scripture? The Pharisees attacked him. The Sadducees attacked him. The government attacked him. Lost people attacked him. Saved people attacked him. The Muslims are still attacking him today. And so is the Pope on the rope and everybody else. Folks, Jesus is still probably the most scandalized person in the world. Matter of fact, while he was dying to pay for our sin, The one idiot on one side said, if thou be the Son of God, get down and get us down too. Hello. Now, wait a minute. Here we go. Your faith does not insulate you from attack, but it will keep you from vengeance, bitterness, self-destruction, and depression. Your faith will not keep you from an attack. Now listen to me. Those of you that run around depressed because you have a burden, can I tell you something? Increase your faith. I'm not saying you will never get depressed. But I will say this, if you get your eyes off the attack, get your eyes on the Bible, we'll get to that in a moment, you can go through the attack and not be depressed. You can put your head down at night and not be offended by any human being on the face of the earth. Do you know that the president of the United States does not offend me? I'm offended he's our president. He does not offend me. Hillary does not offend me. I don't care what she does. She cannot offend me. Can I tell you why? I've already forgiven her and him and whoever. I don't live trying to get back at somebody that has attacked me. Brother Kermit, I'm not going to go into detail, but one day I was in a battle and I had to call Brother Kermit. This is several years ago. I said, Brother Kermit, you don't even know what you're about to get involved with, but I need you. He said, okay. He met me. Somebody was attacking. And I mean viciously. Brother Kermit doesn't say too much. He doesn't get a chance with K around. But all of a sudden, he heard the attacks and his eyeballs started doing this, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, hold it. I said, Brother Ecker, tell him what you know. I said, and by the way, he didn't know why he was coming. He said, nope, but I do now. And he lit into him. I said, it's okay. This is what the truth is, though. And to that person that was bringing that to me, they apologized. They said they're sorry. I said, it's forgiven. I just wanted you to know what the truth was. And we went on. That wasn't the last attack. But guess what? I did it scripturally. I had the evidence. Guess what? I'm doing okay. How about you? How about you? You see, I don't live depressed. Oh, I got this problem. I got that problem. I got this problem. Good night. Brother Joe, you know what I'm talking about. I was working on staff at First Baptist. I'd been working there about a year. Brother House came out one night and said, you don't know this, but we're involved in 7 different lawsuits. He'd been involved in 7 different lawsuits as the church. I mean, you know, when you take Chicago bus kids, you got people trying to, oh, they see a big church. Oh, we're gonna sue them for millions of dollars. I mean, we were sued for kidnapping children. We had signed permission slips to bring every child, but because you took them across state lines, oh boy, it could get real exciting. Let me tell you, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I don't even know what all 7 of them were. I didn't care. I got called to the office one Sunday afternoon. He said, I need all my men right after church. I'll see nobody. All my men. You get there right away. Somebody was about to die. We got there. We're all in his office. He sat down and said, fellas, we're about to get attacked. Okay, what else is new? He said, no, there's going to be an article printed in Chicago papers and the Hammond papers and all over this area. Probably could go national. He said, just want you to know, it's going to be okay. I don't want you responding. You don't talk to anybody. You let me fight this battle. Your names are going to be listed. It's going to be okay, though. I promise you. I won't let them destroy you. And he was right. He was right. After it all started clearing a little bit, he took out a full page. I mean, a full page in the USA Today newspaper and printed the truth. Vindication. Man, there was reporters crawling all over that church for a while. Matter of fact, one came to the church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night for 12 months straight. She sat back over on this side, and one Sunday night, after 12 months straight, he got up in church and said, I've got a perfect attendance report I'm going to give to somebody, an award. It was one of the Hammond reporters, and he had one of the assistant pastors walk down and give it to her in front of 7,000 people. She wasn't there reporting good news. And it didn't go over real well in the next day's newspaper that she got it either, but it was worth it. Now, wait a minute. He didn't live in vengeance. He lived by faith. I'm going to make a statement here. Quit blaming and questioning God about why difficulties come. Well, God took my baby and I'm mad at God. Or my mom and dad took me to church when I was a kid and some preacher disappointed me and all preachers are bad. And this Christianity stuff, it's just a cult. I'm so sick and tired of that stupid mess. I've heard people say that for 30 years. Can I tell you something? You are so stupid showing your ignorance believing that church is a cult. You have no idea what the word cult means. Look it up. Well, you're just brainwashing people. No, that's what you try to do. Brainwashing and heartwashing and spirit washing are totally different. But if I could wash your brain in that book, you better believe I am. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. You can't wash your brain with anything better than the Word of God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun here. Well, I lost a child. I lost a family member. I got cancer. I've got this disease or I've got that. And I'm mad at God for this. Some leader disappointed you. Somebody hurt you. Well, I went to church one day and I had somebody in the church, some deacon, or it's usually a deacon. I've had this person or that person. They hurt me. I said that because my dad's been a deacon almost my whole life. And God knows they hurt me, so I'm mad at God. And that Christianity stuff, it's phony. That's called bitterness, just so you know. And that comes because the scandal came and you didn't forgive. Everybody doing all right? Now, listen to me. So, point number one, you cannot stop the scandal or the trespass from coming. Number two, increasing your faith is a never-ending job. The word increase, there in Luke 17, verse number one, in English, we have three tenses for verbs, basically. You have present tense, meaning the action is taking place right now. You have past tense, which means it took place before right now. And you have future tense, means it hadn't happened yet, but it's gonna. Everybody understand that? In the Greek, there's an added tense to verbiage. By that, it's listed as two different things, either the linear tense or the aorist tense. That means that the action starts here and keeps going 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 and never stops. The word increase in the Greek is in the linear tense, the aorist tense. And that means it's to increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase. And after enduring every scandal time, after every trespass, when it comes your way, your faith is to increase. And when another comes, it's to increase. And when another comes, it's to increase. It doesn't increase automatically. It keeps increasing. It is like grace. You don't get grace till you need it. You don't get the ability to have grace until you really need it. Oh, God, I need it now if I've ever needed it. And there it is. Now watch this. Faith is continuing to support the crop as the storm comes. Remember we said a couple weeks ago, faith is like the ground in which all action is planted. Did you know that when you plant your crop of corn in the spring, there's going to be storms come? There's going to be opposition come. The winds are going to come. And as long as the ground stays there and stays firm, And those roots were allowed to grow. Guess what? The faith is allowed to increase that plant. Though that wind gets a pretty ferocious from time to time, it will withstand the storm because of the structure of the dirt, the faith. The disciples asked Jesus to help them keep producing as the attacks came and not to be bitter at the attackers. Let me say that again. The disciples were asking Jesus to help them keep producing, keep growing as the attacks came, so as not to get bitter at the attackers and stop producing. Bitterness stops production. Bitterness stops production. I watch it in people. They quit singing in church. They quit going soul winning. Then they miss Wednesday night, miss Sunday night, miss Sunday school, miss Sunday morning. Somebody hurt them and they start backing away a little at a time and a little more and a little more and a little more, a little more. For too long, they just don't show up anymore. They get numb. They stop producing. Bitterness starts a death process. And I am not here to hurt anybody. I have nobody in mind. I have 34 years of preaching, 25 years of full-time Christian service to make this statement. But when you get bitter, somebody is going to die spiritually because of it. Usually multiple somebodies. I've watched mamas and daddies get mad at the preacher, pull their kids out of church, and I watch the kids turn out like the devil, and 10, 15, 20 years later, mom and dad come crawling back to church saying, "Oh, what happened, but I should have never got out of church." I give you a list as long as this platform is wide of folks just like that. "Wish to God I'd have stayed in. Storm came, got offended, got out. Boy, look what happened. What a mess." Bitterness stops production and bitterness starts death. Can I tell you something? There are people in this room, you have bitterness down inside somewhere. And it's not because mama didn't burp you enough when you were a baby. "Oh, my dad didn't take me to enough ball games, so I'm bitter." I am so sick and tired of the worldly psychologists that whatever problem you have today stem from something when you were a child. That's stupid. That is as stupid as, that's a generation that's afraid to look at themselves in the mirror and say, "It's my fault. It's my fault. My dad is not the problem for what I have going on in my life today. It's my mother." No. Now, wait a minute. What happened in my past, I am not to blame for what's going on right now. Everybody doing all right? By the way, parent, if you brought your children up according to the word of God, listen to this statement. If they get old enough to leave your home, they turn into an adult, and they don't make wise decisions, that's not your fault either. That's theirs. They have a free will to choose to do whatever. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. So, Jesus said, look at this. This is where I find great comfort in God taking my enemies. Watch this. Look at verse number one, Luke 17, 1 again. "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses should come." Watch this. "But woe unto him through whom they come." Miss Kathy, you know this term, woe. Right, Hannah? When you tell a horse to whoa, what's that mean? Either you stop or you're going to get whomped. Jesus said, "Woe to those through whom the offense comes." He said, "Fellas, it's coming. But don't worry, I'll take care of the offenders. You let me take care of them, you get your faith squared away." Can I tell you something? That's why God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You don't have to worry about getting back at your enemies. God will do a far better job of it for you, I promise you. Now, said all that, here's the key. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, look at verse number 165. Psalm 119, 165. Now, if you mark in your Bibles, this is a verse you need to mark. You ought to memorize this verse. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Watch this. And nothing shall... Okay, you sounded like Methodist. And nothing shall... Let's try that again. And nothing shall... offend them. Woo. Great peace. By the way, peace, look at me, is not the absence of battle. Peace is a result of battle. Peace comes after conflict. God said, great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. That means when the offense comes, if you love this book, you walk in this book, you live this book, you read this book, you listen to this book being preached, you spread this book to the lost, you teach this book to the saved, when the offense comes, not only will you have peace, but you're not going to be bitter with the offender. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Folks, that means this. Learn to love the word of God. Learn to read the word of God. Learn to listen to the word of God preached. Learn to live the Bible and learn to spread the gospel. By the way, it is the only way to stay away from bitterness. I promise you, the more angry and the more bitter you get at somebody, the farther away from the relationship with that book you get. I'll guarantee it. I don't have to investigate. God said it. God, you see, you're supposed to get so busy helping folks out of hell and helping other Christians that you don't have time for the battle by the scandalizer. Again, when battles come my way, I get busy serving God. Brother Gus, I go soul winning. I ask God to bring people to help me. Guess what? I get so busy helping everybody, I forget there's a battle going on. I'm battling with somebody else with their problem, letting God take care of mine. Then I leave their problem and say, I think I left something back here, but, oh, that's right, I had a battle going on. I guess I better check. It's calmed down. Why? Because I let God take care of it. See, some of you decide to fight the battle. I decide I'm going to help somebody else. I'll spend extra time in that book. I'll tell more people about the Lord. I'll teach harder. I'll preach harder. I'll give more time to helping other people. Sit back here and look at Miss Sally. God gave her to me in the midst of a scandal. A scandal. Say, what happened? I said, God, I need your help. Got this going on. I don't want to get offended. My phone rang within literally an hour. Say, what happened? She needed help. Her family needed help. And I ran there. And for about a week, man, we were there. She had no idea I was going through a battle. Say, why? Because I was letting God fight it, not me. I decided I'd help her and her family and see people get saved and kept teaching and preaching and doing the things I was supposed to do. Watch this. I said, Lord, increase my faith. I'm giving this one to you. Say, does it hurt? Oh, yeah, it hurts. I didn't say it didn't hurt. I didn't say I didn't cry. I didn't say I didn't weep. Guess what? I didn't quit producing. I didn't think about my battle. I started making her battle my battle. I started attacking the devil more. Guess what? Vindicated. Scandal goes away. God takes care of it. Say why? Because I didn't try to take care of it. I let God take care of it. Started doing what I was supposed to do. I didn't walk around. I got a battle going on. I'm going to go home and suck my thumb. I'm going to put my feet up and cry for a while. Bless God, I don't go home, put my feet up and cry for a while. I get off my backside, go out and try to help somebody and do the work of God. That's called great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. I didn't say there's not time to grieve. I didn't say there's not time to hurt. But when that attack comes, that scandal comes, watch this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, before those of you that think you're so spiritual say, well, I love the Bible and I read the Bible, and I read it more when I'm attacked, but I still get angry. You can't love without action. It didn't say, great peace have they which read thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It didn't say, great peace have they which believe thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It said, great peace have they which love thy law. Watch this. I love my wife. I love my daughter. But if I do nothing for or with them, how do I show my love? I show my love by getting up and driving my daughter to Frederick and go shopping for 5 hours yesterday. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. The most uncomfortable place to be is near the changing room of a bunch of women's clothes. Or in church when your phone goes off. Ron, why did you do that? Now, watch me for a second. I love my daughter. You say, were you uncomfortable? My wife was off somewhere else. My daughter was trying on 14,236 things. And this lady standing out there. Looking at me. I said, hello, ma'am, how are you? And I wasn't standing near where everybody goes. I mean, I'm at the other end of the thing where you can't see nothing, amen? She's just looking at me. I said, can I help you? She said, what are you doing standing there? I said, I'm waiting on my daughter. She's trying on some clothes. She's getting ready to go to Bible college, and I'm out shopping with my daughter and my wife. She's just looking at me. I thought, this lady probably thinks I'm some pervert trying to you know, horn in on, you know, what's going on here. I'm getting a little uncomfortable. She said, my husband would have never done that. I said, man, he doesn't know what he's missing. She looked at me. She said, what's he missing? I said, being as uncomfortable as I am right now. And she started laughing. I thought, whew, got out of that one. She said, your daughter's a pretty lucky girl. I said, yes, she is. She's got me. She said, oh, brother. I said, no, I'm her dad, not her brother. Her brothers would never do this. Oh, wait a minute. I just made fun conversation. Now, I wasn't real fun for a little bit there. I thought, what's going on here? You say, did you have fun? Yes. I didn't have fun shopping. I had fun being with my wife and my daughter while they were shopping. I had fun spending time with them. It wasn't what we were doing. It was just the time. Can I tell you something? If I didn't take that kind of time, I couldn't prove I love them. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Great peace have they which love thy law, and even shopping won't offend them. Now watch this. Just because you tell me you love that book, just because you tell God you love that book, he doesn't know till you start living that book. Until you start living what this book says, you don't start loving that book. oh, I have all this warm, squishy feeling when I read it. Oh, I'm glad you have a warm, squishy feeling. Don't forget, you can wet your plants too, but, you know, you can have all the warm, squishy feeling you want. I probably shouldn't have said that, sorry. You can say all you want about how much you love it, but until you practice it, till you live it, guess what? You're not showing God you love it. Say, how do I keep from getting bitter? Live that book. Read that book. Follow that book. Use that book. And when you do, when the attack comes, not if, when it comes, guess what? You're going to be okay. Young people, listen to me. Listen to a preacher that knows something about what he's talking about. I don't care what's coming your way. You can handle it as long as you're living that book right there. You're going to live like an animal, live like the devil. Cuss, swear, get on your Facebook and spread all kinds of nasty junk. I'm going to tell you something. You're not in that book. Oh, it's just for sissies. That doesn't work. I've had problems. Jesus said you'd have problems. Guess what? You're going to have problems without that book. More problems. It rains on the just and the unjust. Did you notice when it rained yesterday, it fell on everybody? Didn't fall just on the lost people. It fell on us too. Going to rain on everybody. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When the offense comes, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That faith is what it took to get you saved. They didn't say increase our salvation. Increase our ability to go out. May we go out and tell others about you. Get them into the kingdom. Get them back while you're fighting the battle for us. That is how you increase your faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The scandal will come, not if. It's a linear tense. You're going to have to increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase. And the only way to do it is great peace have they which love thy law. Love is an action, not an emotion. And nothing shall offend them.